Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale. Nope. Dungeons and Junkies presents Escape from Ulfheim, Episode 2. Corridors are for squares. Part 1.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex.
Welcome back to Game Junkies, Dungeons and Junkies. This one is another one from Chad's campaign, playfully titled Chad's Campaign. So myself and Alex will hand the baton over to Chad from View from a Top Rope to be the DM for this episode. Take it away, sir.
Hello again, everyone. First of all, we'll have everyone remind you, everyone, who you are playing as in Ulfheim. So let's start with, this time we'll start with Caitlin.
I am playing Damien, the permanently annoyed, intimidating Air Genasi warlock with his pet raven, Julius.
And Carrie.
I will be playing Noon Bark, the Warlock Wood Elf, who also won Mr. Wood Elf 2020.
Very nice.
Love it in the ears, Kerry, by the way.
Thank you.
We'll go to Alex next.
I'm playing Zoran, the grandpa lion, who's just missed his first gym session because he died.
Relatable.
And then...
And that leaves me. I am playing LB, the Hill Dwarf Cleric, who is a former soldier.
All right, then. Well, as you all remember, we started in Haljavik, but unfortunately, there was a massive earthquake that killed you all, and you were sent to Charos, the god of fate and time, and then he sent you to the dimension known as Ulfheim. And while there... you got attacked by some kobolds, and then were captured by a fleet of Kenku and Loxodons, even with Damien very much trying to resist getting in the net.
I don't like being contained.
So,
don't you?
As we begin this leg of the campaign, you feel, all of you begin to feel the effects of the drugs, and Damien begins to wake from his unconscious state, and you all find yourselves on a rooftop. What would you like to do?
I want to roar in anger.
All right. Go ahead, roar in anger. Your roar seems to echo just on forever, because as you roar, you realize that there's nothing seemingly around you. That you are somehow just on this building that seems to be in the middle of nowhere.
As Lauren roars, Moonbark jumps like a scared cat.
I mean, are we attached in any way?
You are not attached in any way at all. You are all just waking up on the roof, and all you can currently see that is on the roof is there is a small, what looks like a hut, about 30 feet from you on one of the corners of the roof.
So it's a flat roof?
Yep, totally flat roof.
Okay. That's not too bad, I suppose. So I'm guessing that because I was drugged, obviously, I'm a little bit slow to react. So I'm going to slowly make my way over to the hut to try and investigate it.
As you approach the hut, suddenly... you hear a loud voice echo from, it seems to be, you notice that there's a horn attached to this hut, and you hear a loud voice, "Greetings, adventurers."
What?
Oh, here we go. I feel so hungover.
Oh. You feel hungover? I've got a giant dent in my head.
I'm get Fair enough. Hello?
Ah, I'm glad to see you're finally awake. Oh, I've been waiting to see you for. Oh, once
are
I heard
vicious?
You
were...
Ah, that's my name. But please, don't take it to heart. It was just what I was called. I'm a very kind man. I just want to see what you four can do. So I brought you here. Welcome.
To avoid.
To my, I like to call it the cube.
You could do anything in the cube.
For the benefit of American listeners, that's a game show in the UK, by the way.
I broke myself.
What are we doing in the cube, then?
As you ask, you suddenly notice that the hut, a giant, like, emblazoned sign, has now, like, lit up over a doorway. And it just says, the cube on it. And, the door, you now can see, is right there, and it's just open. And the voice comes back over. Oh, what you're going to do is survive. If you can.
Why did you feel the need to drug them and hit me over the face?
Oh, there'll be plenty of time for questions later, but with your lion friend roaring and the sound of my voice, you might have happened to notice that you're not really protected from the outside surroundings. I would say you have about 1 minute till the tentacles come. So you can either enter the cube or you can take your chances out here.
So it's death or near death.
As you say that, a loud, like, just ominous roar is heard far off in the distance that kind of just reverberates through the air.
I'm talking!
I would take the option that has a roof over it.
I think that's more likely or not. Simba, come on.
Call me Simba again and I'll throw you into the tentacle monster.
Everyone get in the cube. Come on.
I sling my axe over my axe over my
shoulder. Are the demons still with us?
No, it's just the four of you. No one
else. My children. I wanted to kill them.
So, Trepidation and the
other one. Are not with us.
No.
And neither is Lucian, I assume.
Correct.
So I will find him.
And you will kill him.
Yep.
All right, so are you all going to enter the cube then?
We've entered the doorway. It says
slowly.
Yes, cautiously.
As the four of you enter and you all get within the doorway, it's a stairwell, you realize, and you begin to walk down as the door behind you slams shut. And then, as if your vision just, once again, it just becomes pure white and you can't see anything for a second. And then the next thing you know, you're back on stable ground, and you appear to be in a solid room.
Is it, looking around, is it just four walls? Is that it?
The walls are, it seems to be that you're inside of a shipping container, if you really had to put your finger on it. There's metal bars or beams that are going straight down the wall with rivets that seem to be in it. And it's just in the center of the room. And at this point, since you're looking around, you do realize that there are two doors. That there's one on the south wall, and there is one on the east wall. And they look like hatches with giant circular cranks.
Is this going to be a Pan's Labyrinth thing where one of them lies and one of them tells the truth?
I cast Detect Magic.
You can go ahead. You don't detect anything at this moment. There's nothing in the room but you four and these doors.
Okay, so there's nothing... From what I can tell, guys, there's nothing in this room that's juju. Getting no juju back, so...
Oh, so you know it as well. It is a 30 by 30 by 30 foot room, so it is a perfect cube.
Oh dear,
Is there any acid?
Not this time.
Thank God.
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Right, so... what do we do? He said survive, yeah?
I have a feeling it's gonna be whatever's behind either door is probably gonna try and kill us.
We shouldn't do eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
I was gonna say, is there any discernible difference between the two hatches?
Nope, they
are identical in every way.
They're the exact same in every way. And they're just, they're circular. They're probably a good 6 feet by, like, it's a big 6 foot circle. So they're not small.
Are we in the middle of the room, or?
You are in the middle of the room.
Okay, yep. Cool.
And the doors are in the dead center of the walls as well.
Cool. Growing up, I always used to hear tale that the left path was always the sinister one, and to always take the right path.
Are you also right-handed?
I am.
That's probably why they told you that.
Do I hear anything behind either hatch if I press my ear to them?
You cannot hear anything behind the hatches at all.
What if we put both at the same time?
We could try.
Is that going to be bad, though?
I have a feeling anything that happens at all during whatever Vicious has planned is going to be bad. He's a bit of a dick.
As you say that, you suddenly hear a voice. All you have to do is pick a door. I'm not trying to kill you. I just want to see what you got. So please, pick a door and try and see if you can survive the cube.
You're still a dick!
Well, if nobody's going to open it, I go to open the left door.
That's cool. The door on the east wall, then. Okay.
Alright, so Noonvark, you're going
to
open the door.
Nobody seems to be making a decision here.
Noonvark, as you begin twisting the hatch open, just as the hatch begins to crack open, the entire room is just filled with, once again, a white light, and you can't see anything. And then suddenly, once again, you find yourself in the middle of, once again, another steel room. But this time, there are doors on the south wall, and once again, the east wall, but now a door on the west wall as well.
I just made things worse for us.
I'm going to lose track of this.
I definitely vote we open all doors at the same time.
At this moment, you suddenly hear a small voice go, "Help! Help!"
No.
I don't want to help it.
Oh dear. Oh dear. Can we tell where the voice is coming from?
As you look and trace the sound of the voice, you notice a person's head. And not a person, it's actually a gith. With spiky blonde hair. Just his head sticking out. Just barely what's his mouth and his eyes. And you can see basically just the front of his face. And he's sticking out of the north wall.
Okay.
Well, that isn't terrifying.
Oh, what happened to you?
I got caught by the trap in the room. Yeah, that you have to find. If you look on the wall, there should be a snake curled like a dagger. It'll be one of the bolts. It'll be small. You have to push it. It'll deactivate the trap. Quickly, before.
And you slowly see that he's still being sucked into the wall a little bit more with each passing second.
Is he telling the truth?
You can make an insight check.
Yes. I can do it as well, is that right?
Yeah.
I don't trust anyone in a wall.
Okay, so wisdom insight. That is a 18.
7.
You could both tell that he's actually telling the truth. He actually is in peril right now and is trying to tell you how to get out of it, or help him out of this situation.
Right.
Can I pull him out of the wall?
The only parts of him that are sticking out of the wall are, like, the very front of his face, so you really don't have anything to grab onto.
Oh, please. I've got a vision of him doing a mandible claw. right, so dagger shaped like a snake. Which wall is it in?
It's just look around on the bolts. It'll be a different colored one. If you use a shiny light, it'll sparkle, because it should be made of something else.
Shiny light.
Mystic Quorum. Right.
Well, at this point, what the worst can happen? I cast my cantrip light. I have to cast it on something. I take a small, like little. I cast it on my hand axe, like my hand, and just hold it up.
As you do that, you do notice on the south wall next to the door that one of the rivets does seem to be glinting back at you, as like it's a black obsidian, and you can see that it's definitely over a crossroad.
Okay. Does someone want to grab that while I, just in case I need to swing this at him?
Alright, I'll go grab it.
Or you could have a backup plan.
As you go over, you just have to, actually, you don't grab it, you just push it. So, Zora, as you push it, the git is forcefully projected out of the wall and lands on the ground at your feet, LB.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you guys so much. Oh, man.
I turn the light off for my hand axe and put it away.
Why are you here?
Oh, I got on Vicious's bad side, and he sent me here after he caught me cheating in his casino.
You never cheat a casino, mate. The house always wins.
Oh, but I've been getting away with it for a while. I'm Vash. What are you guys doing here? How'd you piss him off?
Well,
he didn't. He wants to see what we can do.
Oh. Well, that could be interesting for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, how many rooms have you guys explored?
This is the second.
Yeah.
Yeah, this place is messing with my head. Every room seems to be the same. Every time you open a door, you just appear in the same room, it seems, in the middle. This is my third room, and I had to run. There's a really creepy room. But I think we have to try and find, there's an exit here somewhere. I don't know exactly where, but I feel if we go together, we could definitely be safer here. Because this place is, people come here to die.
Well, we're already dead.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're here because we died. And then we end up getting drugged and Damien here got knocked unconscious. Is your bird still with you?
He's a spirit.
Okay, cool. I thought so, but you know when you're not sure.
He just turns up when he wants, really.
Fair enough.
Which door did we go through in the first one? You said the left?
East door.
The east door. Okay, because if we went through the east door and we're in room two, then that means we entered...
via the west door.
Theoretically, you'd think the west door would take us back to where we were, so we have east or south, really. It probably won't follow this pattern, but if we're going logic...
Yeah, logic puzzles is something that we need to stay on top of here, so I'll make a note of going along.
I've got the rooms sketched on my thing.
Nice. So, do you want to come with us, or...?
Yes, definitely. Let's go. Which way you guys think we should go? I'll follow you guys wherever you want. You saved my life, so I'm here to help you as much as I can.
Okay.
East or south, guys?
South.
Alright.
South works for me.
Open the south door.
Alright, as you spin the handle, the door slowly creaks open, and the light once again encompasses you all, and you once again wake up in the middle of another room. The same room once again, but now there are doors on all four of the walls. But as you wake up in this room, you hear a clinking sound, as it appears that all the doors, like, you hear it from all four of the doors at once, and slowly, from the top of the ceiling, a green mist starts to flood the top of the room.
Holy shit, it's another trap, guys! Alright, we gotta find that damn snake. There's always one in these rooms, that's how we get out of these things. Oh, we don't have much time. We don't have much time at all.
Can I just, like, put my hand against the wall and run down the wall to find a button?
They are 30-foot walls, and there are about 100 or so rivets on each wall, so, like, vertically. So you wouldn't be able to...
Nice idea, though.
Zora does do that right away as he's running along the walls, and Vash just looks at you going, bro, it's not gonna work.
So is that poison?
I hope we don't find out.
Because I'm resilient to poison, so I can stay here and here longer if need be.
Okay, just cast light on this object.
Okay.
And I just pull out like a spare crossbow bolt. Cast light on this.
I cast my light spell on my cantrip light onto the crossbow bolt.
I start scanning the room.
As you do this, you notice in the top left-hand corner of the room there is a glowing, or the glint you can see of the snake dagger. And as Vash notices, he goes, I got this one for you. Pulls out of his holster a large silver magnum, and he just shoots the obsidian snake as you can hear the doors click, and you can hear a rushing sound as the poison is slowly sucked back out of the top of the roof of the room you're in.
What in the name of Gundren was that?
Ah, this would be my trusty angel's wing. Had it built in Wily's shop here in Ganymede. It's a hell of a weapon.
Ganymede?
Yeah.
We're not from here.
No.
Oh, you don't know Ganymede? That's where Vicious runs this whole friggin' realm from. From his golden tower, the Golden Crane. It's in the center of Ganymede Square.
Ah.
Protected.
We saw the gold, yeah.
Yeah, we saw the tower, yeah. We saw Trump Tower, yeah.
Ah, yeah, you can see the tower from miles and miles away. But yeah, if you actually get there, there's a town square, and there's a whole bunch of buildings and everything there. It's where Vicious runs everything from.
Noted. Right, okay. So,
which way are we going to go now? We got four doors this time.
So we came from the north.
Yeah, we would have come from the north, so... Lord, I mean, we haven't been west yet.
Logic dictates west or east is the way to go.
West.
What's okay with you, Nunvark?
I say west. I may as well listen to the giant cats.
That's a Leon into you.
Same difference.
I mean, it is basically a
giant cat. Mufasa, stop arguing. Open the door.
I agree with Nunvark. You're basically a giant cat.
On that note, before you decapitate me, why are the names Simba and Mufasa so offensive to you?
They come from an old tale.
Put him in tish.
A very offensive one, at that.
Oh, okay. Is he being racist?
Yes.
I warm up an Eldritch Blast in one of my hands. LB, stop it.
I'm not being...
Open the door.
I'm not. I undo the door and open it up.
As the door creaks open, you once again are engulfed in the white light, and you find yourself once again in the center of another same room, this time with doors on the north, south, and east walls. And as you scan, you notice on the west wall is a multiple skeletons that were trapped into the wall, you can see, with also multiple scratch marks that seem to be markings of time.
Hey, look, Vash, that could have been you.
Oh, that's why I owe you guys my life. I am at your service.
Bit weird, but okay.
Right, so I'm guessing seeing if the skeletons are in the south wall, that's probably where we need to go.
They were on the west wall, weren't they?
West wall, were
they? Yes.
My apologies.
Because west wall doesn't have a door, it's just all the scratchy scratchies.
How many scratches are on the wall?
There's
a check for that.
You have to do a check. You can try and count how many there are.
Too many.
Yeah, either 12 plus intelligence check, is it?
Yeah, intelligence check.
That's 12 all in.
You get to about 50 scratch marks in the wall before you realize that number is just not worth counting, because they just seem to go on and on. Like, the entire wall that is in where the skeletons are is also encompassed in these markings.
Is this hours, days, years?
Probably years. It has to be.
I mean, you can't really tell time in here. It's literally a box.
This does seem like the sort of place where time is completely irrelevant.
Mm.
Fair enough.
Good idea is a torture chamber.
Yes.
I have to agree.
Damien.
I high five on Buck.
Stop getting ideas.
It's not like I need ideas. I have plenty.
That's the really scary thing. Right. So, if we go north, we'll be right back where we started.
Maybe. If it's in a loop.
If that, so, I'm thinking maybe go south here.
Yeah? I'm up for it.
Okay.
See if we can find a corner of this place. Because chances the exit would be in a corner.
Okay, so south we go.
Kick down the south door.
Kick it down the south.
As you try and kick the door, but your foot just bounces off as you kind of go backwards and fall on your ass for a quick second there.
Fuck you, door. I'm annoyed. I have a head injury.
Bash actually goes and he kind of looks at you, Damien, and goes, "Oh, you're an angry one." But he grabs the door and he opens it up as the light encompasses all of you. And you once again wake up in another room. This time there is a door on the north wall and a door on the east wall. And at this moment, I will need you all to roll me a insanity check.
Is anybody else starting to feel slightly claustrophobic in here?
What list is that again? Your insanity check?
That's the one I had you roll for last time that I had you add your
character. What list was that again?
Oh, it's a d20. Oh, it's d20, sorry.
I rolled 16. Oh,
funny.
8.
16.
Carrie, what'd you say you got?
Natural 20. Nat 20
and
8. Lenvark is so sane, it's ridiculous.
What did Vash get?
He actually got a nat 20 as well. So the four of us are all okay, but Zurin, you hear just a screeching noise echoing through your head, and you really can't think straight at all. And for the next, this to get a little meta here, your next four rolls of any type will be at disadvantage for anything that you have to do. So,
screaming in my head.
The screaming does subside, though, but it says, once again, you're just very disoriented. But at this point, you now are in another room, and the doors are on the north and the east walls. What do?
Is there anything of particular note in this room?
Nope. This is, once again, just a plain room. It's just the same steel walls with the bolts and the steel beams.
Considering we just went south.
You open the east door?
Yeah.
Yeah, we go east.
All right. Zurin opens the door. You are engulfed by the light. And you once again wake up in another room that is the exact same. But as you wake up this time, you feel your feet as you look down and realize that you are standing in a foot of blood.
So an average Monday then.
That's inspiration.
Yes.
So it's literally up to my chest, up to my waist then, because I'm only 3 foot tall.
Yep. You are half submerged in a pool of blood.
Are there any doors?
The doors are located on the north, the east, and the west walls.
Bit of a pointless question, but does the room really, really smell a bit full of blood?
Oh yes, you could tell that this, you have no idea where this blood came from, but it is all that you can smell, or it's actually making its way into your mouth. Like, you feel like you can taste it. It's so pungent because there is so much of it in the room.
Do I recognize the type of blood?
To not only get him out of the blood, but to use up one of my four disadvantage turns.
All right, you can try and pick up LB, and you can roll, Damien, to see if you recognize the blood. That will be a wisdom check for you and a strength check for Zura.
Acrobatics.
Just straight wisdom.
Sorry, athletics.
Yeah, athletics. Just straight. Do wisdom wisdom perception check.
Yay.
2 plus 6.
19 plus 6.
You Damien can tell with the smell, and since he's so used to being around blood all the time, can smell this is a creature's blood. You can't tell exactly what creatures, but you can tell it comes from monsters and beasts and things of that nature. It's not, it doesn't smell human or elven or anything like that. And Zura, as you reach down to try and grab LB to pick him up, you actually just fall on your face into the pool of blood. And now are just literally soaked from head to tail in blood.
If I tried picking him up and I fell in, did I cover him in blood at least?
Yes, you did. You're all right next to each other, so actually all of you at this point are now covered in blood from the belly flop that the giant Leonin just did into the pool of blood accidentally. So a nice wave of blood has covered you all. So you're now nice and sticky and bloody.
If we weren't already so disgusting, I'd give you a backhander for this.
Guess it's cheaper than hair dye.
This gross. Right. We need out of here. We need out of this room.
Well, we would have come in through the west door, so north or east?
East.
Makes sense, but...
I open the east door.
Okay.
Damien, as you pull once again, the same light engulfs you all, and you wake up.
Can't you just make corridors?
No. You wake up in another room. This one, the doors are on the east, the west, and the... just the east and the north wall. But you also notice a plaque that has a sheet covering it on the southern wall as you are looking about.
I don't look in the direction that he's pulling off the sheet.
You said you pulled the sheet off, correct?
Yes.
As you pull the sheet off, you can tell that it's a mounted head. And as you look at it, you quickly realize that it is the mounted head of Trepidation, your once demon friend. He is mounted to
the dead then.
He is he is placarded to the wall. As you pull the sheet out or off, suddenly his eyes open and they're just a solid white. He begins to speak and he says, "If five cats take five mice in 5 minutes, they catch them. How long will it take one cat to catch one mouse?" And as he finishes saying this, his mouth just gapes open and just stays open. As he finishes his riddle, the ceiling begins to spew water from the four corners of the roof area. And you begin to realize that the floor is being covered in water. And you have 5 minutes to solve the riddle.
I think punching it would perhaps not be the best idea in this situation. Use your free brain cells.
Chad, how big's the room again?
30 by 30 by 30.
So it's a 30 foot cube is what you're saying.
Correct.
Excellent.
I still want to punch the face.
I mean, two things. One, I know the answer to this riddle straight off. And two, I'm an air ganassi. I can hold my breath indefinitely.
It's true, you can, but Vash
can't. So y'all can die, and I'll just be like...
Vash is freaking out at this moment. He's like, what?
I say, calm down. We don't have 5 minutes. We have longer than that. Trust me. Okay, so now we have to start thinking about this. Five cats in five mice in 5 minutes. It's 5 minutes, because...
Every cat took 5 minutes to catch one mouse.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So,
as you say that out loud, the mounted head of Trepidation, the mouth closes and the eyes shut as well, and the water stops filling stops piling in from the top of the room.
How high is the water?
At least you can wash the blood off.
The water only got to about 6 inches. So, you answered it pretty quickly.
That wasn't too bad. I mean, I was prepared to bust out my new spell I learned from leveling up, which was create or destroy water. But never mind, I'll use that one for that future if I need to.
Can I still smash the face with my fist?
As you go to smash the face with your fist, the room you feel just start to shake, and the mouth of trepidation actually begins to open again, but just keeps opening wider and wider and wider and wider until finally it actually creates an entire doorway, and you notice there is a set of steps that you can see in front of you.
Delightfully grotesque.
Well, obviously we're going to walk down there. Just if we're walking into the mouth of the monster down the stairs, just make sure you don't touch the treasure at the bottom.
How many Disney references can we get in one episode?
Challenge accepted.
I walk into the mouth cave. That's a sentence I never thought I'd say.
Alright, are y'all clearly going down the stairs then?
Yeah.
And push bash down the stairs.
I try my.
Seems to tumble, and he actually just kind of disappears into the darkness of these stairs, like quite quickly, actually. Like, you feel like you should have been able to see him longer than you did.
Let us know if it's safe!
I tie my hempen rope to the end of one of my hand axes and leave it clipped to the opening, just in case we need to come back up, just need to get out in a hurry. And I clip the other end to my belt, and I follow, and I walk downstairs.
Run out of
rope. For time being, it's fine. It's more a case of finding my way back if we need it, sort of thing.
Alright, are you then all going down the stairs?
Yes.
Yeah.
As you begin to go down the stairs, once again, the white light encompasses you, and you can't see anything. And this time, you wake up in a different room. You wake up to find yourself in what seems to be a beautiful castle hall. It's once again, you know, 30 feet. It's huge. The walls are adorned with gorgeous, giant golden banners that have a blood-red snake curled into a dagger emblazoned on them. There's a huge bearskin rug in the middle of this room that the bear had to have been at least 12 foot tall with the size of this rug that is covering the floor. And the torches on the wall. Like, it just feels like a gorgeous castle, and you just look around, and you realize that there are once again doors on the walls. And the doors are on the... You have doors all around you on every one of the walls. The north, the south, the east, and the west.
Is my rope attached to my waist still?
As you look back and look at your rope, you realize that your rope has been clean singed off, and you only now have what was tied around your waist and 6 more inches of the rope. And it's actually smoking, it seems to be, somehow. Not with fire, but it was destroyed in such a way that it just seems to be smoking. But yes, you only have what rope you had tied around your waist and about 6 extra inches of it.
Right.
And you don't have your hand axe.
Okay, I had 2, so that was okay. Right, so... No going back, then?
I mean, this whole thing is a thing of no going back, isn't it?
Yeah, but... There's no clear stairwell in here. So, who knows which door we effectively came through this way.
I mean, given the change in surroundings, I'm assuming this is kind of a new area. So we're starting from scratch.
Mm. Okay. Is there anything else of note, really, in the room?
Nope. Except the doors are now, you can see, they're giant wooden doors with large gold circle handles.
Hmm.
Hey, Bash.
Yeah.
That sigil on the banners, is that Vicious's sigil?
Vicious
is that just something he uses?
I honestly don't know Vicious well. It's on all of his stuff, but Vicious has been here longer than anyone else in Ulfam and Ganymede. Everyone you ask says he's been here forever, so it's something he uses. I couldn't tell you what it means, but it's everywhere.
I'll ask him before I murder him.
Right, so 4 doors. Any ideas, guys?
I think we should open all the doors at the same time.
Everyone take a door.
I grab the door for one.
I take the south
door. Does it end for Nunvark?
I take the south door.
No.
And open at the same time.
I stand in the middle and make Vash take my door.
Thought you might. Thought you might.
And so I take the last door.
Alright, so you're all going to try and open the doors at the same time?
Why not?
Can I sit on the floor and meditate?
You all yank the doors, and this white light is still here. It once again encompasses the whole room, and as you wake up, you find yourself in the exact same room, it seems, as there's once again four doors all around you. But you're now all in the center of the room, and Damien is somehow standing there as well, quite annoyed the fact that he didn't choose a door, but still ended up in this new room, or same room.
I thought I could get away from you now.
Right, so since we can't cheat the system, as it were.
I've heard the last question.
The person who came up with this then has a mind which is completely messed up.
Maybe.
I think that's perhaps obvious from the whole design of this place.
I'm not sure how this constitutes a challenge, though. Because he's like, oh, show me what you have. I was just expecting more of a fight rather than riddles and pressing buttons.
Also thinking antagonizing the sky voice might not be a good idea.
I don't like him.
Vash is sitting there just kind of twirling his magnum just in his hand, kind of boredly going, so I did say I'd come with you guys, but are we going to pick a way? Like, this is the farthest I think anyone's ever made it in this place. I've never even heard there was a second level, so I'm pretty worried about all of this, but I think we can do it.
Shut up.
Vash kind of slinks back a little bit.
I'm like, I pace back and forth a little bit, and I'm like, so Vicious heard us talking because he actually said something to us before, so he can hear what we're saying, yeah?
I assume he's watching us, because he's a creep.
I cast
and also that's the whole point. Oh,
I cast thaumaturgy. Like, show us what you got.
There is no response.
Guys, I got nothing.
While all of this is happening, I go and open one of the doors. And the other door.
Which door would you like to open? North, south, east, or west?
West.
You all right? As Zora cranks the door open, the light once again encompasses the room, and you find yourself all waking up in, once again, feels like the same room. But before anything else happens, I will need you all to roll me for initiative right now.
Does this count as one of my disadvantage turns?
Yes, it does.
How are you
trying not to kill someone?
Oh, you've got rolled twice in initiative and didn't know it to go.
15.
4 plus 3. 7.
I rolled a critical one, but I'm also minus one initiative.
Oh, zero. How did you get zero?
I've never seen that on initiative before.
All right.
It means I'm going dead last, that's all.
Yes, it does. So, let me see. Let me get all this written down real quick. Sorry, one second. All right, Matt got a critical one, aka OB. Yeah. Damien?
15.
Zora?
7.
And Carrie?
10.
All right, ow.
What did Vash get?
Vash got himself a 14, so he is there. But as you now, your eyes start to clear. You realize you're in the center of a room. The room. You realize you're surrounded. There are three human-looking skeletons on each one of the walls, looking at you. And on those are on the north, south, and east walls. And then on the south wall or the west wall, there is a minotaur skeleton who they are all staring at you. And suddenly, a voice can be heard echoing through the room. Hello again, adventurers! welcome to test number, I don't even know. It's just fun watching you suffer. So, these are my pets, Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and Clyde. Have fun.
Who's got Pac-Man?
Why Clyde?
At this moment, the first one to act is the Minotaur skeleton, who is Clyde.
Come here, Clyde.
And Clyde will charge at Zura. So, Zura, what is your armor class?
15.
All right. Oh, well, that is a miss. So, Clyde kind of runs. He runs straight at Zura, but he misses and kind of slams himself into the wall and trips. So he's now laying on the ground as he's turning back. Next, it will be the skeleton Pinky. And he will be attacking Damien. Damien, your armor class, please.
I'm fragile. 13.
That is a critical one. So Pinky, as he's swinging his sword, his arm actually falls off as he swung a little too hard. So he has disarmed himself.
Now he's armless.
Next will be Vash. And Vash would like to target the Minotaur. So that is a armor class of 15. Oh, and that is a 16. So I will roll for damage.
That face when your NPC is doing the damage, so you have to just roll for like 10 minutes to yourself.
Ah, so that is 8 plus. Alright. So the Vash fires his magnum, and it literally hits the Minotaur in the skull, and actually ruptures part of the skull, but the Minotaur is definitely still coming as it turns back to face the five of you. And next will then be Damien. It is your go.
Okay, so I'm going to use Toll the Dead on the Minotaur.
All right, that is an armor class of 15.
Toll the Dead is brutal.
You need to make a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, yes, I do. What am I trying to?
Just trying to beat a 13.
Well, that is a 4, so please roll me damage.
He's missing his hit points, yeah? That means he takes a d12 instead of a d10.
Yes, he is.
11!
Wow, alright. So the Minotaur, actually, as the bell tolls, you can see the skeleton of the Minotaur shake. And a piece of the ribcage of the Minotaur actually just kind of falls out as you can see the shaking of the Minotaur. He's still, once again, not quite dead yet, though. So next will be Noonvark. You are up.
I'm going to stab it Blinky with my trident.
Death to Blinky. That is an armor class of 13 you are looking to beat.
14.
All right, roll me damage.
Nice, 1.
Cool.
Give him a trim.
As you stab at Blinky with your trident, you actually kind of miss most of Blinky because you just go for the middle where there's just a spine. So your trident does kind of scrape it as it goes by. But really, you just now have your trident around the spinal column of this skeleton.
I mean, it's quite hard to hit a skeleton with an oversized fork, to be fair.
All right, it is actually Blinky's turn, though, now. And so Blinky will try and slash at Noonvark. What is your armor class, please?
14.
Ooh, that is a hit.
Can he get past the giant fork? It's the real question.
Yeah, how big is your trident?
This is where I'm really good and didn't actually write any of this time.
I suppose it'd be taller than me, wouldn't it?
I mean, I'm roughly 6 feet tall.
So it'd probably be like 6 foot 3.
I'm gonna say 7 foot.
7 foot! Okay,
so. That's a bit longer than
they're very pointy.
So if it's 7 foot, then actually the.
Alex.
The skeleton Blinky is actually just kind of waving his sword harmlessly at you right now, Noonbark. And like, you're, can you make me a strength saving throw though to see if you can hold him at bay?
What do I need to roll for that?
D20, please.
And then in your little saving throws box on the top left of your sheet.
It's a two. Noonbark is a noodle arm.
You flail.
Yeah, the skeleton does push straight through your defense, and you take 2 points of damage as he doesn't get a good slice at you, but he does get a glancing blow across your chest. Then it will go to Azura. It is your turn now.
That exchange kind of reminded me of, you know, like the definition of a cat fight where it's like,
yeah.
Yep.
I feel sorry for anyone listening because they can't see the action I just did, so it's just.
It was a sense.
Yeah, it's very embarrassing for everyone to watch.
To double check, can you use bonus actions before you make an attack, or is it after your attack? So you haven't actually used a bonus action
before? After, traditionally.
It's after, yep.
Okay.
You can move.
Yeah, you can move
first. Closer. Or further right, away.
I'm going to attack... Pinky was his name?
Yep, there is a Pinky.
I'm going to attack him with my lance.
That is an armor class of 13 you're trying to beat.
I'm going to roll this again. 5 plus 4, no.
Once again, you're not used to fighting skeletons, so as you jab at it with your lance, it actually just harmlessly glides through its ribcage. And with that, it is now Pinky's turn. Or no, it's Inky's turn. I apologize. And Inky is going to come after LB because he sees the little dwarf down there and he's angry. He doesn't like dwarfs. What's your armor class is like 102. So that's a miss.
It is 18.
Yeah. I got a 16, but I remembered that it was your armor class is really high. So that is a miss. So Inky just kind of, once again, these skeletons are, they don't seem to be very, you know, coordinated. Like, they aren't perfect skeletons, if you will. So it kind of skitters by you as it tries to slash at you with its sword. But it is now back to Clyde. Oh, no, I'm sorry. LB gets to go first. I won't make you skip a turn, even though you got a critical one.
Thank you. I go to reach for my hand axe and notice it's not there. Because normally it would be there, but I've got my backpack, so I reach in. Can I just roll a d6 quickly, Chad? I want to see which weapon I pull out by accident. Excellent. I pull my dagger out, which is a dagger I actually took from a fallen enemy as a trophy. It's this one.
Edgy.
Oh, it's a dragon dagger.
It is a dragon dagger. But at the same time, it's I'm not going to use that. I am instead going to cast Inflict Wounds.
All right, and who are you targeting?
I would do that on Inky.
All right.
Have you been touching Vane, I believe?
Inky did just try and swing at you, so Inky would be within 5 feet of you, so you could definitely do that.
Okay, so it's a melee spell attack against the creature. So, minus one for dexterity. So, 18.
That is a hit, so roll me some damage.
That's a 3d10 necrotic damage.
Wow.
I want your spells, Jesus Christ. Remind me to get that one next time we level up.
My d10, that is. Wait. So that is a 10, a 4, and a 4. 18.
How do you inflict these wounds to death on Mr. Inky, the skeleton? He dead.
Basically, I touch And because I've got my holy symbol around my wrist at that point, basically I'm holding my hand up, and basically it's like the holiness is touching, for lack of a better term, the bones, and they just seem to melt in like a holy abyssal flame.
And wow, he's crumbled.
Nice. Inky catches on fire. And
yeah, basically, awesome. Basically bones catch fire, which is unusual. And I'm
Damien applauds.
I nod, and I was like, who's next?
You should be concerned if Damien is applauding.
Well, one of my things is respectful. People deserve to be treated with dignity and respect, and he was not. And so far, Damien has been very dignified towards me. So far, may change.
All right. Well, it is back to Clyde's turn then. So the Minotaur has regained some of his composure, and he's gonna try and swing his great axe at Zura as he runs at Zura. So let's see. Ooh, that is a hit. Because I got a 19, so I know a hit. That's one. Ooh, that's 11. All right, so it's 2d12 damage you take from the Great Axe. But I rolled a 4 and a 2, so that's only 6 points of damage you will be taking, Zura.
I was concerned, then.
You're dead.
And the Minotaur, as he whacks you with the axe, lets out, just kind of roars right in your face right after. Just rawr!
I want to roll back at him.
I won't even make you roll for that. You can definitely roar right back as a reaction.
Does that use the last one at disadvantage?
No.
Are we basically hearing this as an actual cat fight, almost?
Yeah.
Excellent.
It is now Pinky's turn, and he will swing once again at Damien, but he got a 6.
Your other arm?
Yeah, he picks up his sword, and he tries to swing, gets a 6, though, and misses, so he once again, he's not a left-handed skeleton, so he doesn't really know how to do this. He's very uncoordinated. Vash is up next, and he will once again try and attack the Minotaur. That is a miss, so Vash fires his gun, and it just harmlessly pings off the wall as he misses the giant Minotaur like an idiot. And that will bring it back to Damien.
We're going to continue the ding-dong suffering.
And who are you?
The Minotaur, because he's big and terrifying. Well, not terrifying, but he can do the most damage.
All right. Let's see if I can wisdom save this one. Nope. Roll me damage, please.
D12. Only a 6.
This time, the toll, you once again see the skeleton just begin to quake from the inside, it seems. And the arm that is holding the great axe actually just completely falls off from the shaking. But once again, the Minotaur stands defiantly in front of Zura, ready to attack. Though it does give an angry glance back over at Damien.
Ding dong, bitch.
Next we have Noonvark. You are up again.
Is my trident still touching Blinky at this point?
Yes. Yeah, you still have Blinky, because you're kind of still holding him back a little bit. That's why you took less damage. So you still got him on there.
Can I use Burning Hands to heat my trident up?
Jesus Christ!
I don't see why not.
Metal!
Oh, God. Oh, God, that's brilliant.
I'm going to admit now, I've never actually used Burning Hands.
That's what Tinker has. It's you just need to touch it and you just fucking set things on fire.
Okay, well, Blinky's touching my trident, which is now very hot.
Yes, alright. Well, he is definitely not immune to... Alright, so, can you roll me damage, first of all? Roll me a d10, and I'm going to roll to see if I start on fire.
That's an 8.
Alright, so I do once, so This was Blinky, correct? That you were attacking. Blinky is takes those 8 points of damage, and all of the clothes start on fire that he was wearing, or Blinky was wearing before. And with the fire, Blinky dies. Blinky, the burning of these clothes, you can just see as the light in the eyes of the skeleton just kind of go out, and his head like just falls backwards, and a puff of smoke just comes out as the skeleton is now on your burning trident, but it's dead.
Whoops, doodle.
I'm whoops about that. You cremated him.
Lovely.
Isn't it respectful to cremate the dead? This is Noonvar trying to justify what he just did.
I look at my holy symbol and I'm like, I'm so sorry. This is not your day.
We are back to Azura then.
So the Minotaur is right in front of me still, is he?
Yes, he is right there.
I want to try and rip his head off.
Yes!
Alright, well, first of all, let's roll me a d20, and I'm gonna roll a d20, and we'll see if you beat me. I'll say you grapple me, and then we'll
can
go
I add my
there.
Strength modifier to it?
You can, because I'm gonna add my strength modifier to it as well.
Have
you
used up all of your disadvantage rolls, Alex?
Disadvantage.
Yeah.
Do I have to use my disadvantage?
Yep. This is your fourth and final one, I do believe.
I hope that's the low score. Please be low score. 11 plus 6.
Well, I have a 4 plus a 4, so that's only an 8. So you wrap your arm and you get the Minotaur Clyde into a headlock. And now I would like you to roll me a d12 and tell me what number you get.
8.
With that, you, like a pimple, pop the skull of this Minotaur off as you just slowly, the headlock, you just, you know, cinch it as hard as you can, and the Minotaur skull just falls to the ground at your feet, and the rest of the body just kind of crumples into dust.
The original Sheik will be proud. A reference that no one apart from me and Chad got.
Yeah.
And then, well, with that, it takes it back to LB. No, yeah, LB.
Okay, who's left standing, as it were?
We have Pinky left, the last skeleton.
The one-armed Pinky.
Yep.
Okay, then I will cast Sacred Flame.
All right.
Which is my cantrip. I think I can cast it anyway. I'm just going to double check. Flame of Radiance descends on a creature I can see within range. Target must succeed on a dexterity saving throw or take 1d8 radiant damage. Target gains no benefit from cover for the saving throw.
You said a dex saving throw?
Dex saving throw, yeah.
And what am I looking to beat?
Look, it's against my spellcasting DC. 13.
That's a 12. So roll me damage.
1d10? No, 1d8. Sorry. Is that D8? No, that's D10.
Double pyramid.
There you go. Yeah, there we go. It's a 2.
You likely sinned him.
It's a 2.
The sacred flames do encompass Pinky, and he does set on fire. But Pinky doesn't seem to be bothered by this fire, so now you are dealing with an on-fire skeleton who is quite angry. Kind of looks a little bit like Ghost Rider at this moment.
I was imagining skeletons from Silly Symphony, but there we go.
And that means it is back to Pinky's turn. So Pinky is going to charge at LB, and he is going to try and tackle LB out of rage. So I would like Matt, or LB if you were, could you roll me a d20 against my d20 and add your strength modifier?
Strength plus 2, so that's a 21.
Well, LB, like a grappling wrestling pro that he is, as Pinky tries to grab onto him, literally just uses the momentum against the skeleton and belly to belly suplexes him, And Pinky actually bursts as he slams into the wall, and Pinky dies.
Wow, I wonder what that view was from the top rope.
You can have inspiration for that.
Yay! I don't know how I feel about that.
Perfectly done. Perfectly done. Right. Did anyone take any damage in that round?
Me.
Those two. How much damage? Probably I'm better. How many hit points did you guys probably take? From trying to be too meta.
I still have 20 HP, so I'm fine.
Okay.
I have 15, so I'm probably fine.
Okay.
I'd say save it for now. I have a feeling we're in more trouble.
I've got my hit point pool I can share cure wounds out to. But
I mean, fun fact, if I get a critical hit on an Eldritch Blast, I can give one of you some health. That's a new invocation I have.
Nice. Excellent. So,
are doors now that you notice on the north and south walls, as well as the east wall.
Can I take the Minotaur head as a trophy?
Yes. Yes, you may.
I mean, I did pop its head off, so...
It is pretty large, so if you are going to carry this with you, you're only going to have one hand available to you for the rest of the dungeon.
So I can't, attach it to my bag, because I am quite large as well.
Alright, you can attach it to your bag.
Tie to tail.
Ugly Indians don't have tails.
To be fair, DM said he did, so.
Did he?
Yeah. Oh.
Maybe they do. The picture I saw, he didn't have a tail.
I agree what DM said, so sorry. Okay, so which door are we going out then, guys?
We came in through the east one. So north or south?
We haven't gone north at any point yet.
North is a good idea.
Alright, let's go north for Nunvark.
North for Nunvark, okay.
Not the reason I want to go north.
Okay.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming. Okay.
Alright, so we're going north?
We're going north.
Alright, as Bash opens the door, he pulls the knocker. The white light is engulfed as you all are, and you wake up, and once again, it seems to be the same room. There are doors on the south and the east wall, but against the north wall, you notice a actually very finely crafted-looking chest.
I vote we don't open that.
I vote we do open it.
I was going to examine it to see if it looks like any traps. But I'm going to roll for that, aren't I?
Yep.
I'm going to stand as far away from it as possible.
Okay, so investigation check. I got a 0 for a bonus. That's a 4. All in.
You don't notice anything off about it. It just seems like a normal, ornate chest.
Do you want me to jimmy it? I've got a dagger.
Can I, kick the chest? See if it just opens like they do in the video games. So you just kick it and it pops open.
I take 3 steps back.
Does it play the sound from Ocarina of Time if we open it?
Do I? Yeah, Damien has a musical instrument, so I can just play that.
It's not quite Ocarina of Time, but
yeah, I have a flute.
So is someone opening the chest, or are we still examining the chest?
I think he was kicking it open. Yeah.
He's kicking it open. I'm on the far side of the room from all of them.
You won't have to roll.
Zura, as you kick the chest, it just kind of rocks back and forth. It doesn't seem to, really do any damage to the chest, and the chest is not open from you kicking it.
Alright, I'll open
the chest. Back the way.
As you open the chest and look inside, you find...
Everything screams.
You actually find yourself... there are 4 bottles that are filled with blue liquids. and there's four of them in there.
Can I throw them to each and every player? See if they can catch it, because obviously they're not worthy of whatever is in the bowl if they can't catch it.
Sure, you could throw them all. So everyone else...
I put that in
I'm on the other side of the room!
I have quite a good throwing arm.
So I'm sure first of all, I would like Zura to make me a... We'll go with a dexterity check to see how accurate you are with these bottles. You're looking to beat a 13 with that. And everyone else, I would like you to make a dexterity saving throw to see if you will catch said bottle.
Eight. I got a minus one dexterity.
I rolled an 8 anyway.
11.
1!
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Minus one.
Well, Vash rolled a natural...
I'm a dwarf.
Rolled a natural 20. So, LB, first of all, Zoro just whips all four of these bottles as hard as he can. So, the first bottle hits LB in the face and smashes, and just the liquid rolls down his face. And as it does so, LB realizes he feels better. He feels, you know... Oh, that's a nice feeling that you have going through your body. Both Noonvark and Damien both miss their bottles, and they smash into the wall.
I got a 15, and I miss.
Yeah, well, that's because Zura's a really, really bad throw.
What the and fuck, so Zura?
The fastball that he whipped at the potion. But Bashwood did manage to, at the last second, catch the last potion. So the party now does have one potion of greater healing that will restore up to 3d10s of health. But it's in Vash's possession.
Can we just talk?
Granddad doesn't touch anything from now on.
I agree.
I wipe the potion from my eyes.
So basically, out of everyone in this room, Vash has a potion, and the two of you that actually got injured don't. And LB got a face treatment.
Isn't it about time somebody put you into a home?
It's about time someone rounded your ears off.
Don't try me, cat.
Right, okay.
Where were the doors?
The doors are on your south wall and your east wall.
I opened the east door. Because I was told not to touch anything.
Yeah, the east door makes most sense.
I'm gonna fucking kill you. Which start making characters that piss me off.
No, it's okay. He's rather pissing me off too.
Well, with that door, once again, the white life engulfs you all. And before anything else can happen, though, I will need you all once again to roll me for initiative. What terrifying encounter lies in wait for our adventurers? Will Zura piss off the rest of the party so much that they do actually try and kill him? Will they survive? Will Chad remember that Vash is a character? Find out the answer to all of these questions next time on Dungeons & Junkies Presents Escape from Ulfheim. This podcast was brought to you by me, Chad, in conjunction with Visionaries Global Media and Mad Attack Productions.